Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the Mad Dog Dynasty League headquarters in Miguanago, Wisconsin, Fat Guy with a Phone Productions proudly presents another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. Video did kill the radio star, but that was before the doghouse was around. I'm your host, the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League, and the aforementioned Fat Guy with a Phone. I've been working out, though, so I just want you to know that. I work out. Hey, we're here with another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. Excited to be here tonight with our second show in a 12-show series aimed at examining all the off-season moves from the Mad Dog Dynasty League's 2016 off-season. Before we can kick that off, I need to bring in my co-hosts for today's show, and believe it or not, this guy, I was going to save him for the last, to which he would have said I saved the best for last, but the truth is that I put him last in case I had to buy some time. I wasn't sure if he would show up. The owner of the Stone Form Pallies, Steve Wellman. Thanks for joining
us, Steve.
Good evening. Glad you could make
it to
the doghouse. What's happening?
Thank you.
It's been too long.
Yeah, I've been kind of jonesing.
Well, listen, we're waiting for two more of our co-hosts. While we wait, I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about what we're going to do today. We're here tonight to talk about the 2016 offseason moves, specifically the Blue Division. We set out initially we were going to try to tackle the entire league in one episode, kind of knew that wasn't going to happen. So then we set it a little bit lower goal. We were going to go through the Blue Division, knew that wasn't going to happen. So then it ended up being, let's focus on one team, which last week we did You're in Trouble. Let me interrupt myself and bring in another one of our co-hosts for today's show. Out of the gate, his motto is win if you can, lose if you must, but always trade. The owner of the Malicious Minds, Tom Buckles. Tom, good to have you with us.
What up, fellas?
Dude, that sounded like a frog. Were you going Budweiser on us?
Oh, yeah.
Straight with meat. Is that where you were headed with that?
You got it, brother.
Now you sound like, what's that guy from the Little Rascals with the deep
voice?
No,
he sounds like Kool-Aid.
Froggy.
Kool-Aid, man. Well, guys,
we are now
firing on all cylinders because next up, another co-host, this guy, our 2012 league champion and lover of all things defensive line, the owner of the Marauding Minotaurs, Brian Gutch. Brian, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Really?
I don't know. I'm doing great, but can I get a hug?
What was that?
Can I get a hug?
No hugs for
Dude,
you.
This show has been going on for, we're like 4 minutes in, and that's what you lead with. How are you today? How was your day today?
Okay. Another day in the books.
Did
we're
you get
off
a guy
running.
Injured in practice camp, in camp today or not?
Well, guys, as we were waiting for you to join us, I started to recap what we're going to do today. We're going to kick off our second show of this 12-show series, which recaps all the 2016 off-season moves. We're focusing on the Blue Division. As we record this show right now, the final signing deadline is less than 48 hours away. That's a huge deadline, one of the biggest deadlines of the year. Three teams, the Malicious Minds, Transpat Sixer, and Show Me Your TDs, still have about 25 contracts to take care of between now and then. So it'll be interesting to see what these guys do. With that said, the majority of the league's owners are in the clubhouse. So we're going to talk about one of those owners that are in the clubhouse right now. He was one of the most active teams in the 2016 offseason. I'm talking about Andy Wellman's Ipswich United. So here's what we're going to do, guys. I know it's hard to – I got to say that again. One of the most active owners in the entire offseason, Andy Wellman, Ipswich United. Should have went to Vegas and put a bet on that last year.
Can you say that again? Because I think I'm pinching myself right now because I'm probably dreaming. Because that might be a typo again.
So here's what we're going to do.
Yeah, it was very quiet the way he got there, though.
Well, as quickly as I can, I'm going to recap Ips' offseason, kind of where he started and what his moves are, signings, cuts, taxi promotions, if there were any draft choices, trades, etc., and then we'll talk about how those impacted his franchise. So, all right, let's do it. Do it. Ipswich United, do it.
So, do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Where in the hell? Oh, this is the wrong script. I ran an updated
script.
We're
not
doing
click
it open. So here's the thing. Last year, Ipswich had a bad year. He finished in last place in the Blue Division with a 4-10 record. And I got to say, whether it be out of frustration or by design, he tore it down this year a little bit. He tore it up and had the most aggressive offseason that I've ever seen an Andy Wellman-managed team have. And I lots of praise to Andy for swinging the bat there. I think that's fantastic. What our listeners and you guys maybe don't know is that this is entering our sixth season of Mad Dog. The first four seasons, not counting last year when he finished in last place, the first four seasons, Andy finished in second place. And he was right there on the doorstep of winning the division almost every single season. And specifically,
he was on my
coattails. In 2014, I think it was Year in Trouble came on strong at the end and ripped it away from him in the final games. So Andy's had a good team for as much as he hasn't made the playoffs or anything. He's been right there at the doorstep every single step of the way. So this offseason, in my opinion, represented kind of a change in strategy, a change in philosophy, a decision that whatever he had built just wasn't getting him over the hump. So he decided to take measures into his own hands and try to do something about it, both for this year and the future. So right now, as a result, Andy has 38 players on his roster, and he has an impressive $33.22 in cap room to play with. Pardon me, gentlemen. Andy's off-season signings. Teddy Bridgewater was signed to a 3-year deal at $3.08 a year. Blaine Gabbert in San Francisco, 3-year deal, 93 cents a year. Josh McCown of Cleveland, 3-year deal at 93 cents a year. Dunbar from Dallas signed to a 3-year deal at 55 cents a year. Doug Baldwin was a sign-and-trade. Doug Baldwin, 2 years, $7.14, promptly traded a Year in Trouble in a deal we'll talk about later. Mike Evans, no-brainer from Tampa Bay, 3-year deal at a bargain, $6.05. Dion Buchanan, formerly a defensive back, now a linebacker, 3 years, $4.53 a year. And if I'm not mistaken, Andy wisely locked him up before he officially became a linebacker, so I think that he caught a break on the price on that. Some positives to making moves early. So that's the commissioner in me coming out there, guys. Andy executed 3 right-of-first refusal tags. He let go of Riddick from Detroit, Woodhead of San Diego, and Charles Johnson of Carolina, all right-of-first refusal players that he'll have to, you know, bid up to a certain point and then potentially be able to match and bring back to his team. He did cut Joique Bell. Would have had to pay Joique Bell like $12.53 or $16.30, so a no-brainer. He cut him. He cut Phil Dawson of San Francisco and Sebastian Janikowski and cut William Moore, former kind of a real, gosh, what's the word, from Atlanta, the defensive back who was desired, shall I say, by many teams in our startup auction. He was a big name for a while, and it just didn't work out. So those are the basic signings. Andy did cut Swisham? I forget how to say his name all of a sudden.
formerly of Pittsburgh, I think previously Washington. He cut Curtis Lofton, who's a free agent. It just didn't work out in Indianapolis last year. Not many people saw that coming. Iadigbo, formerly of Detroit, if I'm not mistaken, that also didn't work out. You can see a trend there with those handful of players that are cut. These are just players that other guys, somebody would have had that player on their roster. It's not that Andy was picking bad players in the past. It's just things didn't work out, bad breaks, situations. Andy also released Hawkins from Cleveland, the wide receiver. Released what is now classified as a linebacker, Hughes from Buffalo. He used to be with Chicago and was classified as a defensive line when he had some very good years. Paul Kruger, Cincinnati, was released. And Daryl Smith, who now is with Tampa Bay, was released. So those are the signings and releases for Andy Wellman's team. Let's see what's next. We're going to recap the draft quickly. And he picked up 7 picks in the draft. He made a lot of trades to get there, but here's what he did. He traded up to get the number one overall pick and took Ezekiel Elliott, running back of Dallas. He then traded up in the second round to take Jalen Smith, also of those Dallas Cowboys. Then traded up again in the second round, took Noah Spence, a defensive lineman from Tampa Bay. In the fourth round with the first pick, Andy took a cornerback from Jacksonville, Jalen Ramsey, lauded as the top defensive back in this year's NFL draft. With the 10th pick in the fourth round, one of the in our prior draft review conversations, everybody kind of looked at this as one of the better picks of the draft. DeAndre Washington, running back from Oakland, was his pick. Second pick in the fifth round, Von Bell, a safety from New Orleans. And the final pick for Ipswich in the 2016 draft, third pick of the fifth round, he took Antonio Morrison, a linebacker from Indianapolis, who one day should be able to find his way into their lineup. Almost done here with the recap, guys. We're going to talk about trades, and this is where it gets crazy. This is where the world is upside down, because your Ipswich United FC is tied for the league lead in trades through August 9th. 7 trades this season Ipswich has made, and he's made trades with 6 different owners. So of those 7 trades, he's made those trades with he's traded with half the league. That's pretty impressive. The trades that he made, Ipswich gave up DeAndre Hopkins and a second pick in the second round this year to trade with Malicious Minds. Malicious Minds gave him Melvin Gordon, DeAndre Levy, and the 9th pick in the second round. Another trade, Stoneform Pallies gave Sean Sweetsham and the top overall pick and pick 4-1 in this year's draft. Ipswich gave up to get that, the 2nd pick in this draft, the 12th pick in this draft, and the 9th pick in the second round. Another trade, Ipswich gave up a 5th rounder in next year's draft to Stoneform for tight end Will Tye. And Brian obviously wants to talk about that trade in a little bit. Crazy traded with Ipswich. That's my team. Graham Gano, place kicker Carolina, for the 2nd pick in the 3rd round in this year's draft. Andy was very active in trades in this draft. Ipswich and You're in Trouble made a deal in the draft. Andy moving up to take Jalen Smith with the 7th pick in the 2nd round. Ipswich gave away Doug Baldwin, pick 310, and a 2nd rounder next year. Tron made a trade with Ipswich during the draft. He moved up, Andy moved up to take the defensive lineman Spence, who is with Tampa Bay, with the 10th pick in the 2nd round. Andy also acquired the 10th pick in the 4th round, which is the pick he got DeAndre Washington with. And he picked up pick 5-3, which I think is the pick he picked up Morrison, the linebacker from Indianapolis. To do that, Andy had to give away his first round pick next year. So quite a price. We'll talk in a little bit about whether that was worth it. And last but not least, Andy made a trade with Malicious Minds. Gave up the – I wonder if I screwed up the number of teams he traded with here. Well, Andy gave up the 3rd-round pick next year and a 4th-round pick next year for Kiki Alonso and a 5th. So, gentlemen, what do you think of Ipswich's off-season moves? Please take a – take some time and just tell me what you think of all these moves that Andy made. Anything in particular that you want to point out? We will be going position by position and talking about the starting lineup, so save that for just a little bit. But, Brian, do you want to kick us off and tell us about Ipswich's off-season moves?
Well, obviously, he had two bids, and the first one is obviously acquiring their first pick overall. I mean, to go ahead and obviously he threw his hat in the ring, knew what he was going after, and made a play on it and ran with it. So obviously very strong and bold move there. The other one is when he made a trade with Tom's team, Malicious Mind, with DeAndre Hopkins and Melvin Gordon involved in that one. Melvin Gordon, if I remember correctly, was the second pick overall in 2015. So, you know, I think that he could be a powerhouse. And when I say he, Andy, in the next couple of years, over the next 5 years.
Steve, any thoughts about Ipswich's offseason?
Well, yeah, I thought he had a plan. He realized that, I mean, just to quickly go back, last year I think I did and some other owners thought that he had a very good shot at taking his division, and it kind of fell flat. And I like the way that he used the assets that he thought was going to make his team that good and use it to make it better. The DeAndre Hopkins trade was really good, I thought. And, yeah, he basically tore it down, kept a couple of key players. You know, he kept Evans. He's going to be good for him. You know, he kept the re-signing of Deion Buchanan, who's going to give him some good points. So, yeah, he decided to take his team a different direction, and he didn't leave anything on the table.
Tom, what do you think of the offseason for Ipswich United FC?
Ipswich United FC. They channeled their inner David Stearns. He wanted to tear it down, trying to build something new. I hope he regains something for next year as far as draft picks so he can keep restockpiling what he's got going right now, going ahead in the future. But I see a nice nucleus there. He's got a couple nice young two receivers that I see on his team that are really sweet. He's got a nice core of running backs that he can rock with. We'll see what happens with some of them young guys on the defense, see what happens, see if they can pan out. But I do see him as making a vast improvement, and I hope he sticks with this, you know, this full-fledged rebuild, this fold. And, you know, I want to evaluate him and keep seeing how he goes for, like Brian said, probably the next 3 to 5 year plan, see where his team is in that point.
I'm fascinated by this offseason, guys, and I have to say part of it's a bias in my own philosophy in that I just love watching guys swing the bat. I love swinging the bat. You go at talented players, especially in a dynasty league. That's what carries you, difference makers. You can find guys to fill roles, to be that guy that's going to fill in on bye weeks or to be your fourth starter. You can stream players to fill a roster spot. It's players like Ezekiel Elliott. That's what you set it and forget it, and it carries you to division titles and potentially championships. And I love that Andy went out, and not only did he go after an Ezekiel Elliott, he went after a Melvin Gordon. He swung the bat when everybody else was zigging. He zagged. He said, I'm going to take a chance on this guy with the knee. I'm still high on his talent. He took a chance on DeAndre Levy when everybody else was running away because of injuries. I say this, that's what I did with Jamal Charles, and it helped me carry my team for several years back when Jamal was injured and people weren't really, you know, excited about the guy. Andy's doing that right now with some of the players that he's picking up. And maybe it won't work. Maybe these guys are injured and they've lost a little bit, but you love seeing a guy pick up the bat and swing it. The only criticism I have that I will weigh in on, and I think we can't gloss over, is that next year's draft, the 2017 rookie draft, is rumored to be very strong. And he gave up. Right now, all he's got left is a fifth-round pick. for next year's draft. With all the trading that he did, he traded all of his picks for next year. So that's going to hurt him, but at the same time, when you actually look at the players that he picked, a Jalen Smith, Ezekiel Elliott, picking up DeAndre Washington, I mean, Antonio Morrison, these are players that are going to be there for him in the future and potentially play big roles. So he got seven players this year. Right now he's only got one pick next year. It's kind of a minus two if you just count straight players. You would have had five picks this year, five pick next year would have been 10. He got seven out of this draft, and he's got one pick next year, so that's eight. Could he acquire more picks? He sure could. But in a couple of those deals he made, he did overpay, specifically the deal with Tron and the deal with You're in Trouble. I don't criticize overpaying because I do that myself. I'd be a hypocrite. You got to go for it. And that's what I'm lauding them the most on doing. And I do think he improved his team. The only speed bump is going to be, can he overcome, you know, this is a conversation for next year, I guess. Can he overcome not having picks in next year's draft and stay strong? Anybody have any follow-up comments?
Yeah, I was going to say one thing that's also interesting is I don't know if this was part of his plan or not, but the end of this year is going to be our sixth year, if I'm not mistaken. And that means that a lot of good quality players are going to either be headed for the free agency or franchise tag. So what he loses in draft picks, available rookies next year, he may be looking at being able to snag some of those good quality players out of free agency, especially since he's sitting on such a large cash number right now. I mean, imagine how much more money he's going to have next year for that. So that'll be interesting to see how that works out, if he goes that route, if he becomes a free agent buyer more than a drafter.
He's got the money to do it, though, with $33 in his pocket.
Yeah, I look at it this way. I'm like, I look at his squad. You know, Hundley's going to be up next year. Is there going to be a team that's going to come out of the woodwork and say, hey, you're going to get a starting job? You look at his other players. If Mike Evans doesn't fill out to be exactly where he was his rookie year, could he move him to get back into the draft and pick something better up younger? Maybe he wants to unload one of them running backs that, you know, does a little something, you know. There are players. I mean, I'm all about that, stockpiling guys that if you think they have a value, you can trade them to get back in the draft pick. There's always people willing to make that trade. So he could turn it around and switch to get right back in the draft, no problem.
Breaking news here on the Mad Dog Podcast. Tom Buckles in favor of making trades. Coming out in favor of dealing. Oh, man, nobody
never thought
tonight.
I'd live to see it.
Hey, Brian, anything before we go position by position?
No, I'm ready to go position by position. I know. Definitely think that Andy's on the right page. You know, as far as his off-season moves, I'm very excited for him, and I hope that maybe he can win the blue division this year.
Hey, let's talk about his quarterbacks. He's got Drew, Brian, you're going to kick it right off on quarterbacks. He's got Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater, Blaine Gabbert, Brett Hundley, Josh McCown. Obviously, Andy drafted Bridgewater to be his future. Brees has given him a lot of great years, but he's, I don't know, the guy I think is 70. And he's making $13.31 a year. He's 37 years old. I don't know how much longer he's going to be able to do this. Andy drafted some guys last year, Hundley and Garrett Grayson. What do you think about Andy's quarterback crew this year, right now? Is he better right now than he was last year?
Yeah, I definitely think so, just because of Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater's obviously experienced now into his third year. Took him a little bit of time to get there, but I definitely think that he could be a top quarterback, you know, within the next year or so. As far as Drew Brees, yeah, I think he's definitely down on the downside. He's probably a couple of hits away from being on the IR for the season. Blaine Gabbert, great quarterback, having a backup in San Francisco. Maybe he wins the starting job, you know, against Colin Kaepernick. So that's always kind of a crapshoot there.
By the way, he was a former first-round draft pick 2 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. And Brett Hundley, sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's like kind of – you're not going to see it. You're not going to see the field. So that one there, I'm a little kind of – you know, I kind of want to see what happens with it over the next couple of years. Josh McCown going right down the line. Don't know why he took him for 3 years. Why, you know, Cleveland quarterback. Normally aren't very great, but I guess at 93 cents, you had nothing to lose.
Steve, what do you chime in on the quarterbacks here? Do you think he's stronger this year? And I do want to comment, guys, that I guess I'll hold my comment till my turn. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, yeah, I kind of agree. I don't know that he's stronger than he was last year. I think he's got a position in the quarterbacks where he doesn't have to really worry about anything right away, at least for this year. You know, he can choose between Breeze and Bridgewater as to who's going to start and who's going to back up. You know, if Blaine Gabbert winds up winning the starting position in San Francisco, that's going to wind up being a bonus. And, yeah, you know, for 93 cents, Josh McCown, I mean, you know, Kirk Cousins can beat out RG3. I don't know why Josh McCown doesn't have a chance to. So I wouldn't say he's stronger, but he's certainly solid. He didn't do anything drastically to put his quarterback position at risk.
Tom, what do you think of the quarterbacks?
I didn't see a change, so I leave him at where he was last year. Say about C+. I do like the fact that Bridgewater's got another year under his belt in the system. They added another weapon for him. Rudolph's a little more healthier. Offensive line got a little better. So I think that's his future quarterback going forward, unless Hundley ends up on a pretty nice squad in the next 2 years. So
I would call his quarterback crew, although it stayed the same, I call it stronger because he's got him locked up for 3 years. He's got guys like Bridgewater 3 years. Gabbert's got, you know, he's playing the best ball of his career potentially, and he might get that job in Frisco, and he's locked up the 3 years. If anything, Andy locked up some talent, and if Drew Brees does call it quits or it doesn't work out, you know, he's at least got something to fall back on. So I think it's an improvement in that respect. But moving on to Old Flex, just to keep it moving so that we don't run out of time, we have about 15 minutes roughly left, a little over 15 minutes, 17 actually. But offensive flex, we're going to consider running backs and wide receivers. Has he improved? I think that the addition of Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, and DeAndre Washington are fantastic additions. You do have to factor in that he lost DeAndre Hopkins. So he does have a young Tyler Lockett coming up, and he always had Mike Evans. I guess I think he's improved. Cashed in one big fish for several small, you know, they're smaller fish right now, but they could be just as big in the future. Back to you, Brian. You're going to be leading us off each time. Offensive flex positions, do you think it's improved?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we kind of talked about it earlier with Zeke Elliott and with Melvin Gordon. I definitely think that he's there. Mike Evans, my God, you know, I mean, the guy's been a stud for the last couple of years. I've been trying to make a trade with Andy for Mike Evans in the offseason, but unfortunately, of those seven trades, I just couldn't be able to crack that egg. So looking at the rest of his team, you got Nelson Aguilar from Philadelphia. Depending upon who's throwing the ball there, that could be a really intriguing play. And then Robert Woods, that could be another one. You know, I'm not really high on him right now, you know, but I mean, I guess he's going to be playing opposite of Sammy Watkins, so that'll be interesting to see how he fills out. C.J. Anderson still has a starting job, from what I understand, so, you know, good luck to him that he doesn't get banged up and hurt and can hopefully help carry that Denver team to another playoff run.
Steve, you want to weigh in on the offensive flex positions?
Well, I think as it stands right now, I would say that it might be slightly more of a gamble. But again, he has a lot of money, and there's some good talent out in free agency. So I think he can he's given himself an opportunity to build his offensive flex, especially with a lot of the stuff he did in the draft and trades on defense. He's got that pretty much locked up and pretty much sound, so he can really focus on his old flex in the upcoming free agency draft. So in that respect, I think he made him, he put himself in a better position, but it's definitely going to be a position he has to address, because right now, as it currently stands, it's, I don't think he's better off than he was last year.
Tom?
Myself, I made the trade with him with the Melvin Gordon deal and whatnot to get a guy who's going into his fifth year in DeAndre Hopkins. That's usually, you know, a time where guys are ready, matured, he's into that focus. If he's going to be a top-tier type receiver, then he's there. I believe he improved dramatically on that running back position, and I think that could be a three-headed monster. Those three young kids could be a possible, you know, tri-headed monster down the road. Lockett only did it 1 year. We're not sure there. Evans, 1.5 years. We'll see. He's got these guys locked up. So, I'd say his offense, as long as these guys pan out, I think it should be an all right, an improved offensive flex.
So that was interesting. Is I think Andy improved long-term with his moves. Short-term, last year he had Danny Woodhead as a starter, one of the hottest players in the league last year. Doug Baldwin, end of the season, the guy was white-hot at the end of the year. He had DeAndre Hopkins, who was doing fantastic. Mike Evans was kind of Mike had a lot of yardage and everything. He did a good year that-wise, but only 3 touchdowns on the year. That is not a good year. So I do think maybe Andy's old flex at the start of the season on paper is maybe a little less. It's a push or a little less in hindsight, but I think long-term it's a plus. It's definitely long-term a plus. Tight end position.
Yeah, and like I said, well, real quick, I was going to add to that, and I agree, long-term, but he also positioned himself to go get some good guys. I mean, there are some good guys out there. Fitzgerald's out there. Crabtree's out there. Can't think of who else off the top of my head. Like the kid in Cleveland, Travis Benjamin, he's out there. So he has the ability to push guys in there and beef that up before the season starts. So he definitely positions himself very well.
Sure. Guys, we have about just over 10 minutes left, so let's hit the tight ends. Dwayne Allen, tight end, very good. Added Will Tye to the tight end core that he has. I think he's improved himself, if only by the fact that Ty, I think, is going to be better than Josh Hill and Kyle Rudolph. Quickly, we'll move into possibly that number two role. What do you think of the tight ends? Brian?
Dwayne Allen looks like Indianapolis let go of Kobe Sleener, decided to go with Dwayne Allen thinking they get a better talent. So, obviously, kudos to Andy for identifying that. Josh Hill, with Drew Brees at the helm, I definitely think that he can become a great safety blanket. Kyle Rudolph, been waiting for years for him to turn around and be able to put up a decent season. And when I say decent, man, I'm not really sure what I really mean by that, but I was hoping that he was going to be able to be better than what he is. And as far as Will Tye, I think he'd be a really sneaky pick there. Or not even say the word pick, but I mean obviously player. I think that, you know, he can become another security blanket for Eli Manning there.
Steve, tight end position.
Well, I think he's got two solid guys to start week in and week out, in Allen and Rudolph. I don't know that Josh Hill is going to amount to anything, and I'm the one that traded Will Tye, so obviously I wasn't too high on Will Tye. But again, you know, he's positioned himself that he can, if he feels the need to bolster that position, he can do it. I mean, he's got the money and the roster spots to go and get, a number three tight end if he wants to, if Ty and Hill don't pan out. So I think it's pretty much just a standard step across the board from last year. No real improvement, but certainly didn't hurt himself.
Vance McDonald, Brait, and Kendricks of the Rams are the three top tight ends, at least from a quick review a while ago. Tom, what do you think of the tight end position for Ipswich? Did it improve?
Like that, he kept Allen and Rudolph, and the acquisition of Ty is, you know, hit or miss. You know, if it pans out, it pans out. If not, you know, it's just a trade. He's got cap room to make moves if he needs to, so... his team, you know, a little improvement, I would say. A little.
Quick comment, I would say that with Fleener out of Indianapolis, as long as Dwayne Allen can stay, this is, again, something that we have to pay attention to, his situation. And I think Allen's situation has improved in Indianapolis. He doesn't have to share those catches with Fleener anymore. I think that that will actually be an improvement. And I do think Will Tye, Kyle Rudolph's just been stale. I mean, I drafted him or auctioned him initially, it's so long ago, and traded him to Andy. He's good, he's solid, but I think at least Will Tye, there's hope. It's a younger player that could, you know, move up. Improvement at kicker with Graham Gano. Let's move on to the Graham Gano was one of the top scoring kickers in the league, so that's why it's an improvement. But going on to the defensive line position with about 7 minutes left, Brian, do you want to talk about the defensive lineman real quick? He's always had a good stable of defensive linemen.
You know, I like his rookie. He has Noah Spence. I was kind of eyeing him up during the draft if I could have stuck an extra draft pick.
You couldn't get up to get another one, huh?
No, I really kind of had to hold back a little bit of ammo there, but after having Spence keep it, position. I'm a little perplexed, though, that he has Muhammad Wilkerson and Leonard Williams. I'm kind of thinking too many eggs in one basket, and then when you really add on the fact that he has David Harris, is that another, you know, kind of like, you know, where's he going with that? So
yeah, he likes big guys in green.
Well, I'll stay away from him. That's it. I won't wear green. but otherwise, as far as Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle, never been huge on tackles. Andre Branch, I think that he could definitely be a player to watch with 1 year left on his contract. And, you know, maybe he'll go ahead and test that out for a great year, and that'll cost Andy $6 next year.
Steve, go ahead.
Well, I think what he did is he did like what you did with your tight end position, with the drafting of Noah Spence. He's now turned Williams, Wilkerson, and Cox into cogs where maybe next year he can get a second or a third round pick for one of those guys.
Well, I'm sorry, Steve, what did you say? I couldn't hear you. Williams, Wilkerson, and what?
And Fletcher Cox. He can now, if those guys have good seasons, I know that Fletcher and Leonard are up next year. So if they have good years, maybe he can do a sign and trade and get back into the second or third round next year. So I think he did a very good job at making sure that he got a defensive line position that's going to be solid for years, and he's got a chance to deal one of those guys off to get back into the draft next year.
So you're on record as liking Cox?
No more than you do, Rich. No more than you.
Okay, Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle, Philadelphia, is, of course, who we're talking about on this PG-13 show. Tom, what do you think about the defensive lineman?
Oliver Vernon's gone. Branch has a chance to step up and fill that gap over there. Defensive lineman, I've been trying to talk with him on trades. I'm pulling one of them guys off of him, but couldn't get one of them off of him. No Wilkerson or no Fletcher, so... good defensive lineman. He's got two solid guys he can throw out there every week. So,
guys, let's hit the defensive flex, and we only have about 4 minutes, so let's do it fast so we can get to some more stuff here. Brian, defensive flex, what do you think has he improved?
Yeah, I can't really put my finger on one place where he improved, but I do like the Jalen Smith rookie draft pick there. I think that that's definitely going to go ahead and make a big improvement for him. Looking up and down his team, he also picked up Kiko Alonso. Again, he has Andre Branch from the same team, so tackle sacks are going to be kind of taken away from one guy from the next.
Okay, Steve.
Well, I think with the locking up of Buchanan and the acquiring of, or the getting DeAndre Levy He's definitely given himself a solid defensive flex, the draft picks. You know, you can't – he's got five rookies in defensive flex. You know, if only two of them work out, it's a big win. So I think he and Kiko Alonso, picking up Kiko Alonso. So I think he's done an excellent job at solidifying his defensive flex. Like I said, I don't think he has to worry too much about that going into the season, and he can focus any free agency or any more drafts or trades on the offensive side of the ball.
Tom, defensive flex.
Well, he's got Malicious Minds part two, I guess. He could be my B team since he's taken some of my DBs or linebackers, I should say. So he's the B team. So I like what he's got set up for the future with the youth, so I could see that being something good for him going down the road. I would prefer to see him get some look at getting some better safeties type of players, guys that, you know, are going to be 150 and above type guys. You want that flex to at least be 150 and ahead and above. So hopefully the guys that he picked up aren't hurt, don't get hurt, stay healthy, and everybody pans out.
I think that he's improved long term. I'm not sure if he needs a little bit more work for this coming season. Picking up Alonso and Levy are difference making kind of players, and of course Jalen Smith, future guy. Ramsey and Bell at cornerback and safety could play a role this year yet. So nice job. Let's go through quickly. What's your ideal lineup for this team, Brian? 30 seconds or less. What would you trot out there if you were Andy?
Steve,
what would your lineup be?
Okay, me.
Hello.
Anyone?
Go ahead, Tom.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry. I was waiting for Brian.
we have a minute and a half left, guys, so hit it.
I would go Breeze, Anderson, Elliott, Gordon, Evans, Dwayne Allen. I'd probably go with Wilkerson and Fletcher. Go with Alonzo, Buchanan, Davis, Levy, Earl Thomas, and just see who of the rookies actually turn out to be decent, because I think Antonio Morrison might actually be a good catch.
Tom, you want to throw yours out quick, and then I'm going to change the question.
Yeah, we're going – I'm going to go with Breezy, Zeke, DeAndre Washington, Lockett, Evans, Allen, Gano, Cox, Wilkerson, Buchanan, Levy, Morrison, Alonzo, Bell, maybe Thomas.
Well, guys, here's what we're going to do. Last 5 seconds each. What do you give this improvement, overall offseason improvement, a scale of 1 to 5? Brian, 1 to 5, what do you give his team, Ipswich United?
4.
I go with a solid, solid 4.
Steve?
4.5.
Tom?
4.5.
I'm going to go 3.5. I think long-term I'd give him a 5. Gentlemen, I greatly appreciate you joining me for today's show. We got to get that premiere thing so that these shows don't shut off so early. So we're out of time. I'm sure for our listeners, our shows last an eternity, but I got to tell you that it goes by so fast when you're live. Regardless, it's time to move on. Don't forget about our upcoming shows and the 2016 off-season moves, team by team series. To quote Ghostbusters, 2 in the box, ready to go. We be fast, they be slow. Until next time, I want to thank Brian Koch, Tom Buckles, and Steve Wellman for joining me tonight. Thank you all for listening. Join me now. Get your fist in the air. It's Judd Nelson time. Visions of Breakfast Club as we close it out.
Peace out.
Thanks for joining me on the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast.
Yeah, baby, yeah.